Thank you. We rejoice again in the privilege of sharing with you the precious Word of God as we study the book of Romans. Again, may I say, I am more and more encouraged as I think of the blessing that has come to so many people. And I just pray that as we continue in the study of this book of Romans, the Spirit of God will enlighten your heart and your mind concerning the wonderful, wonderful grace of God as displayed for us in the person of His Son. I would like again to read to you from the last 4 to 5 verses of Romans chapter 11. In verse 32 we read, "For God hath concluded Jew and Gentile in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Here you have the great doxology in the book of Romans, chapter 11. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. In our last lesson, we began to discuss this, and I would like to continue today, at least for a few moments, on this amazing revelation of a man whose heart was bursting with rapturous praise as he thought of the grace of God displayed in this book of Romans. You remember from chapters 1 through 11, we have seen how God has taken men and women who are fit for hell, and He has fitted them for eternal glory. From all who are in disobedience and unbelief, to see the fact that His will and His purpose was accomplished. For example, you take the argument from chapters 1 through 8, from those who had been given over to sin, and in chapter 8, they're fitted for eternal glory. And then in chapters 9, 10, and 11, what God will do concerning the nation Israel, of how He chose them to a place of privilege, and then because of their disobedience, He cast them off. But His promises to the fathers will still be fulfilled. He's going to regather them. He's going to cleanse them and purge them. He's going to forgive all their iniquities and bring them into a place where they shall fulfill, or where the promises of God shall be fulfilled in them in the millennial reign of our Savior. And then also what God is going to do with the Gentile nations, and what God is doing now. He is taking individuals out of every nation under heaven, whether Jew or Gentile. And any individual who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior comes under the mercy of God, enjoying the grace of God, the compassion and tenderness of God, indeed becoming a child of God. And as Paul came to this, he couldn't help but burst out in this wonderful, wonderful rapture of praise when he said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out." I'm thinking of a verse now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You remember where Paul says in verses 13 and 14, "If we be beside ourselves, it's to God." As he thought of the grace of God, he could say, if we be beside ourselves, with the glory of it all, the marvel of it all, it is unto God. If we're sober, it's for your cause, for the love of Christ overmasters us. Oh, to be overmastered by that wonderful divine love of the Savior, so that you and I could become channels to display that very same love to our generation. Now let's look at these few verses for a few moments. Oh, the depth of the riches. Do you ever think of it, the divine wealth? The inexhaustible riches of Christ. I'm reminded of that verse in Ephesians chapter 3 when Paul speaks of the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't exhaust them, and you can't get to the end of searching them. The divine wealth in His grace, in His mercy, in His love. You remember in the book of Ephesians in chapters 1, 2, and 3, where he speaks of the riches of his grace and the riches of his mercy and the unsearchable riches of Christ and the riches of his glory. I tell you, we've got a God who is rich in mercy, rich in love, rich in grace toward any open heart that will come to him. My friend, he excludes nobody. It's up to you. The Lord has given to you the capacity to do something with the blessed offer of the grace of God, to accept it or to turn your back on him. And then think of the depth of his wisdom. Do you know, he has no confidant, no counsel. The depth of his wisdom, it's beyond the faculty of men to plumb the depth of the wisdom of God. You remember in Corinthians chapter 1, the very foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. You take in the book of Job, chapter 11. Canst thou searching find out God? The impossibility of it. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In fact, in Colossians 2:3, we read that God has hidden in Jesus Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Hence, I must say this, all we know of God is just what he has revealed to us. My friend, you can study all the philosophies of the world. Can it bring you into a relationship with God? What do we know about God? Just what he's revealed. What do we know about his working? What do we know about his ways? What do we know about his wisdom and his love? Just what he's revealed. And to me, the astounding thing is that men today question the working of God. The question is wisdom. The question is love. They sit in judgment on God. The arrogancy of the human heart. When man can't begin to even plumb the depths of the wisdom of God, of the riches of God. And we calmly sit back and we tell God just what we think of him. We judge him. We claim to have more love than he has, more grace than he has, and so on and so forth. No, my friend, let me tell you this. The only way you'll ever know God and the grace of God and the love of God, the compassion of God, is as you find it in the Word of God where he has revealed it. And may I remind you that he's the only wise God. Find this in Romans 16:27, to the only wise God. Same thing in 1 Timothy 1:17, in Jude 25. Do you remember verse 24? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his joy with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior. The depth of his riches, the depth of his wisdom. But it goes on. Not only the depth of the riches of his wisdom, but also of his knowledge. Our God is omniscient. He knows everything. Even our Savior manifested this. You remember in John chapter 2, the last two verses. Many, many claimed to be his disciples when they saw the miracles which he performed. But he did not yield himself to them or reveal himself to them because he knew what was in man. And you follow through your four gospels and how often the Savior, knowing their thoughts, said to them certain things. I tell you, he knows everything. In fact, I would say to you that his decisions baffle human explanation. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't trust him, even though one does not understand all that he does. Nevertheless, he's a righteous God, and his judgments are always righteous, even though we don't understand them. He's a loving, righteous God, and he'll always do the right thing. All he asks of you and me is that we might trust him. and his ways are past finding out. Isaiah 55:9 says, as high as the heavens is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. I'm not surprised that Moses, the great lawgiver, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse 13, when in boldness he came to God and he said, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. And the marvelous answer of God to him was, my presence shall go with thee. Or you find it in the 103rd Psalm, verse 7. Psalm 103, verse 7. Wherein he made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. He does not show us his way. We will never know it until we yield ourselves entirely to him. In fact, his ways are beyond the reach of human intellect and human philosophy. I'm talking about an eternal, omniscient God. I'm talking about one who is rich in wisdom and knowledge, and his judgments are unsearchable, and his ways are past finding out. Then he goes on to say in the next verse, verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Who counseled with God? My friend, when God created the universe, created this world, and he made man, made the animal creation, he didn't call anybody in and consult with them. Not even the angels, not even Michael the archangel, not even Gabriel his messenger. As far as I know, he didn't invite anybody in. Who counseled with God? I suggest sometimes you read that 40th chapter of Isaiah. You know, that's an amazing chapter. It's an amazing chapter on the compassion of God. He takes the lambs to his bosom, but it also gives to us a tremendous picture of the character of God. Let me read you one or two verses. With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare unto him? And so on. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tented dwelling, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Hast thou not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or, if I may change it, they that entwine their hearts about the Lord shall change their strength. We exchange our weakness for his strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and thus get his vision. They shall run and not be weary. They become the messengers of God. They shall walk and not faint, in spite of the roughness of the path. Read that whole 40th chapter of Isaiah, and then come back to these verses. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding mind. Who hath been his counselor? Who knew the mind of the Lord? Who met with the Lord when he made all these things? Nobody. Nobody. I tell you, my friend, the only way you'll ever know what he did is that which he has revealed through his word. Again, allow me to quote to you from my Matthew chapter 11, 25 on. Do you remember that passage? I thank thee, O Father, said Jesus. I thank you. You've not revealed these things to the wise and to the prudent, to the intelligentsia, but you've revealed them to babes, to those who will come in simple trust. And it's to them, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, he even reveals to us the very deep things of God. Who is equal to him? My friend, again I say, we will never know unless he reveals it to us. And when I think of the present day, again I come to you with that passage in the 4th chapter of Daniel, where the great king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had to learn something, that the Most High ruleth over the affairs of men, and none can say to him, what doest thou? What he has purposed, it shall stand. What he has spoken, it shall come to pass. He's a sovereign God, and none can say to him, what doest thou? But the amazing thing is, and friend, this is the amazing thing, that you can come to know such a God. You can come into relationship, into fellowship with such a God. You say he's too far away. My friend, he has come to us in the person of his Son to reveal the Father unto us. Not only to be a redeemer, wonderful though that is, but we might know God. This one of whom Paul says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What do you know about the new heavens or the new earth? What do you know about a resurrected, glorified body? You just don't, my friend. What do you know what's going to happen after death? You don't know unless you come to the Word of God, where he has revealed it unto us. Do you know where you're going from here? Some of you, dear people, are in your 70s, in your 80s. Do you know where you're going? It's a wonderful thing to go to the Word of God. And God has revealed by his blessed Spirit through the Word what he's going to do in the future, what he's going to do in the kingdom, in the new heavens and the new earth. You and I can have a real place in the purpose of God. Now, just one more thing before I leave this wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. In verse 35, "Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed again." What can you give such a God? What can you give him? Have you ever given him anything? He's given you everything in his Son. He did not hold back his blessed Son to save you. And please don't glorify yourself in what you've done for God. Do you think God is going to be in your debt? Not for one moment. You think of the inexhaustible riches of Christ for you. What do? What he wants is our worship. What he wants is our trust. What he wants is our obedience. For everything we have is from him. You remember in Romans 10, he is rich unto all that call upon him. He's the source. He's the channel. Man created nothing. All we do is to use what God's given to us. And I want to tell you, my friend, he's going to have all the glory, too. And one time would fail me to go into Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians, where over and over again the Apostle Paul writes, to him be the glory. No flesh will glory in his presence. Not a bit. Won't you take those verses again? I've just barely scratched the surface of this. Oh, the depths of the riches, of the wisdom, the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But you can know them by coming into right relationship with him through faith in the Son of God. Receive his Son, whom he sent to redeem you, and then walk in his fellowship and enjoy him enjoy divine life. That's what spiritual life is, the enjoyment of divine life. And the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.